Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and the gate of Jerusalem, which was destroyed years ago by the enemies of Israel. And so, God touching the young man's heart, Nehemiah, him going back and leading the people in prayer, in character. There is so much that we have studied over the course of few weeks in understanding the book of Nehemiah and looking at what our Lord is doing in this passage. Today, we've come to this place where Nehemiah, it took Nehemiah 52 days to rebuild the gates, the walls of Jerusalem. After the 52 days, then they did certain things. They prayed, they repented of their sins, they celebrated and all that. Now they've done all these things. They fasted, and we've studied on almost every area of Christian living by looking at the book of Nehemiah. Today we are coming to look at the dedication of the walls. So the walls are built, but they didn't just build it and go ahead and did everything they did. They taught that as children of God, they have to dedicate the wall to God. And so dedication is basically a word that is used to describe giving something unto giving something that is worth giving to someone. They built the walls with their own hands. They did everything that needed to be done. But as me and you study the passage, we know that God was working and protecting them and giving them the grace and the strength that they built. Now they finish building the walls, but they come back to God to say, Lord God, these walls are built with our hands, but we dedicate it unto you. We give it to you. That means that they are saying, Lord, we want you to own this city. We want you to be the one responsible of the safety and the security of this city, because the walls were supposed to be the safety, bringing safety and security to the people that lived in the city. And so they are literally trying to say, Lord God, we cannot do this in our own might. Just as the word of God says, it is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. They understood this, so they brought that which belonged to God back to him and said, Lord, you take ownership of these walls. Awesome. Shall we please pray? Father, we thank you. We bless you. We worship you, and we give you glory. We give you honor. We adore you. You are our God. So this morning, we yield to you. We pray you will speak to us. Teach us your word. Give us understanding. Oh Lord, I personally pray that you give me clarity of thought, clarity of heart, that I may communicate that which you have given for your people. And may your people be in a position of receiving your word and taking it to fulfill their calling, their purposes, as you intend this word to be in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so the dedication is going to happen. We will come to that. But you find that this passage is broken down into different areas. When you look at verses 1 all the way to 11, the priests and Levites in the days of Zerubbabel and the high priest. And so it is broken up that way. The names of the people that served under Zerubbabel and the high priest. That is from verses 1 to 11. And then when you look at 12 to 21, it talks about the priest in the days of Joachim. They mention all their names, and they served in the days of Joachim. Also, when you look at 22 to 26, chapter 12, verse 22 to 26, it talks about Levites who served during the reign of Darius the Persian. And then when you come to 27 to 29, that is where I am going to start speaking from. It talks about the dedication ceremony. It talks about the dedication ceremony. And so the 27 to 29 says, now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing, with cymbals and string instruments and harps. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Netophetis, from the house of Gilead, from the house of Gilgal, and from the fields of Jeba, and Azmeth, the singer that built themselves villages all around Jerusalem. Awesome. And so when you look at what they first did when it came to dedicating the wall, the writer says that they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem. And so they had built the walls. Now they were going to do the dedication. But they look out for the Levites. Who are these Levites? The Levites had many responsibilities in the life and the worship of Israel. But one of the most important jobs they had was to lead the people in songs of worship and praise to God. And so when it came to worshiping God and giving thanks to God and in singing praises to God, that is when the Levites were called with their golden, nice voices, and they are giving themselves to worship to come and lead the people in singing and in giving thanks to God. And weren't we blessed today as our music ministry led us in singing and giving thanks to God? That was the kind of role the Levites played among the people of Israel. And then the writer goes ahead to say, to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing. Mostly, they did not sing without musical instruments. Here are specifically mentioned cymbals and string instruments and harp. So there are so many instruments in the Bible, but in this passage, they used string instruments and the harp to give thanks and glory to God. And I look around me and I look for the possible instruments that I could use to praise God. Today we have our hands, we have our voices, we have our ears. Anything that you feel you can make into an instrument to praise God, let nothing stop you. Let nothing stop you. The drums in your house. My son, Joel, has drums. And when nobody is in the house and I go into my Holy Ghost crazy world, I just go and sit by the drums and I start hitting it anyhow. And I dance, and then... I know by doing that, sometimes I would do that thinking that my neighbors are not around. And then they will meet me on the street. They will be like, man, you can play. I'm like, oh, my days. But we need to use all the possible instruments that we have today to glorify God. We need to use it. That's why in the church, we cannot be limited. Cymbals, anything. Today, we even have computers that give us more instruments in doing this. There are at least, I've gone into that. I will look at, the Levites were specially appointed to use these instruments to lead the people in worship God through singing. Wow. And then the writer goes ahead and says, sons of the singers. The singers had built themselves villages. There were also special appointed singers. The singers in Nehemiah's day had a close-knit bond, both by families and living arrangement. Now, there are a few points that come out of this, two major points. Since the job of these singers was to lead the people in worship of God, they had to be good singers. But more importantly, they had to be people of worship themselves. What is the point to lead people in worship when you yourself, you are not the type that loves God, that loves to worship Him, that loves to give Him your totality? What is the point? Why come to church and say you are worshiping, cleaning the place, leading singing, being an usher? Maybe your so what you do even in worship for God is not even in the church. Maybe you go to other places and do things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the point in trying to do all this if you yourself don't have a heart of worship unto God? You're wasting your time. It will be time waste. There is a huge difference between being a great singer and being a great leader of songs of worship to God. Worship should be excellent, but it isn't entertainment. The goal isn't to give the people a good feeling, though that may be happening, but to give glory and honor to God. Do you see why we worship God? To give glory and honor to God. And so if whatever you are doing in worship is not to glorify God, it's not to give honor to God, you're wasting your time. And today, we have to become those kind of people whereby everything we put our mind to do for God must be that we are doing to glorify God. Glorifying God, honoring God, exalting God, and magnifying Him. It shouldn't be saying. It shouldn't be actions. It shouldn't be things we do. No, it has to be from the depths of our heart. Worship your Lord with all your heart and with all your understanding. We have to become worshipers first before we can think of leading others to worship. And so even as a church, as congregation like this, with a vision and with a heart, most of us are willing to be able to go into our communities and start winning souls and start working in our community. If we are going to go into our community and start winning souls and start preaching the gospel and start living, telling people to come to Jesus, and we don't love this Jesus, we don't have this heart for Jesus, then what is the point? Are we going to be successful? So, it starts with us. We need to check ourselves. I like to check myself. Am I a signboard leading others to Christ, and myself, I am not going? You know, all these sermons I am preaching on, the book of Nehemiah, as I study this subject, this book here, to share with you and to for us all to grow in the things of God, this passage has worked on me in a very tremendous way. It has taught me so much. It has released me so much. And I find myself realizing that, you know, Lord, I need you more. I need you more to be able to do that which you have called me to do. And we need to all be able to search ourselves, do a personal check on ourselves. Are we at that place whereby we really are serving God because we love Him? Are we in love with our Lord Jesus? Are we in love? Are we in love? And so, when you look at the verse 30, they purified themselves. The passage says, then the priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the wall. The priest and the Levites purified themselves. They did this first. They could not effectively lead the people in worship of God unless they walk in purity before the Lord. Unless they walked in purity before the Lord. You remember what our Lord Jesus told us? Before you go to move the plaque in somebody's eyes, you make sure your plaque is out first. And today we have a lot of Christians who are so good at criticizing and condemning everybody else, but yet still, our life is not a life of purity. A life of purity. The writer says, and purified the people. And purified the people. The next thing they did, they brought cleansing to the people the way the Bible said to, knowing that only a purified people could really worship and praise God. You see, if we're really going to give true worship and true praise to God, we have to be purified. We have to be washed. We have to be washed. We have to be washed. And so someone might ask me, how do I get purified? How do I become cleansed? It first starts with accepting the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. It is only by Him that you can be cleansed. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Today, people, there are so many religions, there are so many people saying all sorts of things. You can go and wash yourself 7 times in some water somewhere. You can go and wear some clothes and you'll be cleansed. There are so many lies going on. There are some people who even go to so-called prophets of God to be poured oil onto so that they will be cleansed. None of this is true, but only through Jesus Christ. People travel for miles to go to places so that they will be cleansed. I live in Jersey City, and yesterday I went to West Orange, and I was driving through Jersey Avenue, and come and see a whole street blocked with idols of different gods, certain faiths, worshipping idols and making noise and dancing in the streets. And I was saying, Lord Jesus. And their idols were publicly shown. And people were celebrating and dancing. And I was like, man. USA, where are we going? Children of God, you need to pray. You need to desire to go out and win souls. But before you start to do this, check yourself. That is what the Levites here did. That is what the priest here did. The church has to first come to a place of self-examination. You need to examine yourself. I need to examine myself. And that is what they did. They purified themselves first and purified the people. Some might silently object here. They may say, I know a person who goes to church and seem to be lost in beautiful praise and worship to God. And I also know their lives is rather impure outside the church walls. It sure seems they are worshiping God, but are personally impure. Are you personally impure? What are you doing that does not please God? Are you disobeying the word of God? What kind of secret life do you have? What kind of secret life do you have? What is the state and the condition of your heart? Something is wrong here. Probably, their worship is not a true worship of God in spirit and in truth, but instead a soulish experience. All that inwardly moves a person in a deep way is not necessary of the spirit. It can be of the soul. One of the great works of the word of God is to divide between that which is truly spiritual and that which is merely soulish. And so when you read Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and it discerns of the thoughts and intent of the heart. You see, you accept Jesus Christ. That is one thing. Your first cleansing is done when you accept Jesus Christ. Now, the next thing you need to do as a child of God to maintain your purity is to remain in the Word of God. Because it is by the Word of God that purity comes to us. Separation comes to us. As we study and we read and we obey the Word of God, we start to become these pure people God wants us to be. And so, a lot of the battle we face these days, some of us, many of us, are not in the habit of studying the Word of God or even reading the Word of God. Some of us have very nice Bibles. They are decorations these days. When we are coming to church, we stand there, oh, which one should I show today? Okay, today I'm wearing blue suit, so maybe I'll choose the one with the blue color. And when we come, we don't also bother to open it. We are caught up in all the praise and the worship and the dancing. As the preacher is preaching and speaking the truth to us, we are also sitting there thinking all sorts of thoughts. Sometimes we even insult them in our minds and tell them who do they think they are. When all sorts of things going on in your head. Who does this boy think he is? It is true. Am I lying? No. And there are some of us who, as the Word of God is coming, we are taking it, we are chewing it, we make notes, we go home, we take our Bibles, we are studying, and you watch such people and you look at their life and you see the growth and the improvement and the maturity that is going on in their life. The Word of God is powerful. We need to start craving the Word. We need to start depending on the Word. We need to start seeking the Word of God. If we want to be these people who are purified, who are set apart for God, we need to. Without purity, we can't worship God in spirit and in truth as Jesus commanded us to. John 4:24 says, God is spirit. This is Jesus speaking. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Truth. Without purity. Psalm 24:3-4 says, ask. He asks a question. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And it means this. This means it means it in the sense of bringing praise to God. He who stands with a clean heart, clean mind, clean hand. Some of us, our hands are so filthy. Some of us, our hearts are so filthy. Our thoughts are so filthy. Purity. Who will ascend into the presence of God? Who will really come into the presence of God? Many of us come to church. Many of us have come here into this gathering where the Word of God says, wherever two or more shall gather in my name, there I will be. But many of us are not encountering our Lord Jesus Christ here. Because we are here and something else is going on in our hearts. Something else is going on in our minds. And some of us, our hands are so filthy, we are so even arrogant to ask God to forgive us. Do you remember David wanted to build a temple for the worship of God? And God sent a message through his servant, his prophet, to go and tell David, it is not you who will build a temple for me because you have too much blood on your hands. What secret life are you living? That we come to God, or when we see other Christians, we start to behave and talk like Christians. Because we have certain understanding of the Word of God. When you come to, when Christians are talking, you start quoting scripture, you start talking like you are living for God. But your heart is not purified. And so when we are supposed to come to church and encounter Jesus, we don't encounter him. Others are being blessed and we are not being blessed. And then we blame the pastor. And then we blame the praise and worship leader. Oh, today they are not in the spirit. They didn't pray before they came to lead the worship. Hello, you know yourself that even as they are leading in worship, you are thinking of some beggar that you are going to cook at home. Or the nightclub that you went last night and the things that you did over there. Oh, and some of us, the alcohol hasn't still left us. Our hearts. It starts with our hearts. I've spent so many weeks to teach us on this subject. Children of God, we cannot become the West Hudson Christian Center that God wants to make of us if we don't look at our hearts. Some of you come to talk to me as if I don't know what I'm doing. I listen to you guys and I watch what you're saying. I know what your problem is. Your heart is not rendered unto God. What is going on in your heart, your mind? When you look at your fellow sister, what do you see? Before you try to win this person for Christ, what do you see? Do you see a potential evangelist standing in front of you? Do you see a potential child of God, delivered of the power of the living God, preaching the gospel and touching the sick and then being healed? What do you see? Do you look at people and start undermining them? Start becoming racist against them. We are sitting here in the church, but we have discrimination. It's so easy for us to talk about companies that discriminate and blame other people who are caught in the news and all that. But we do it even in the house of God. We undermine each other. We disrespect each other. We are so much caught up in our own selves. We are somewhere else, yet still we are coming to the pastor and complaining that we need to go out and win souls. What kind of pastor do you think I am? Check yourself. Because if the trumpet sounds, the Lord says that he will start it from his own home. It's amazing that Jesus also told the Israelites, he told his disciples, start first from Jerusalem. He anointed them. He said, go into the nation, preach the gospel, the great commission. And then when he finished everything, he said, start from Judea. Start from your backyard, which means you yourself, check yourself. Check yourself. Start winning your own home. If you're going to be good, if you're going to be a good evangelist, you need to first be able to win your own children, win some family members, to gain some confidence in being able to win some friends and all that before you start going to the others who don't know this Jesus that we call upon. And which is also why when we have to appoint leaders in the house, the word of God says that one who is in control of his own home. Many of us want to be leaders, but we are not doing the work of leadership in our own home. Some of us, if I access down, oh, how's your wife? You don't know your wife. How is your husband? Where is your wife? Where is your husband? We start making excuses. How are your children doing? But we want to do, we are so caught up in going to win others for God. I have seen some Christians look at unbelievers as if they are better than them. And we forget that it is by God's grace. By God's grace. Before yourself, you open your mouth to speak to the person knows in your heart you have condemned them, so they don't even want to hear your message. The way you looked at the person. Really? Now you're coming to speak about Jesus to me. Then they came to the gates and the wall. their surroundings were purified. Purification, purifying our surroundings helps us to walk in purity constantly. The homes and the office of many Christians could use a good purification and cleansing. Many of us, I remember when we first came to USA, it was some of the most challenging times for me and my wife. And so one time I was at home and through connections, a friend called me. He was my close friend in London, and we were this on fire youth for God. And he called me. I was so excited. We spent hours on the phone, and he said, I used to live in Manhattan. He was in the Bronx. He said, PK, we need to meet up. I said, yes. I made plan. I dressed up, perfumed myself. I'm going to meet my friend. And I met him the following day. Went to his room, and the moment I entered his bedroom, there was this big naked woman on top of his bed. Picture. I was like, what? Hey, so, man, what picture is this? Some of us, our homes need cleansing and purifying. The pictures, the things we call artifacts, the things we call, designs and others, some of them are dangerous to our environment. We need to purify our surroundings. There are some friends I have decided, until they send me a text message saying, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord, I am not going to chat with them. Because these people, they know I'm a pastor, and they deliberately come on the phone to ridicule my God. And I'm like, hello? You see, as I stand here, all of us here, we have 5 gates to our spirit, our soul. Hearing is one. The things you hear. Seeing is one. The things you watch. Touch is one. The things you feel. The people that touch you. Taste is one. The things you eat. Some people eat everything. So long as it goes into their mouth, they will devour it. And so we need to be careful what we open ourselves to. What you listen. Some of the music in people's ears. F. What is that? Kill. I mean, I grew up in UK, and there's a song, there's a British kind of music called garage. Thank you. And you see this youth sitting in the train going like that. Wow, the thing is taking over this boy. When my nephew came from, he was telling me another kind of music that has come up. Oh, I forgot the name he mentioned. And it is invoking crime in the US, in the UK a lot. And he was telling me about this gangbangers and all that music. And some of us, we have some songs that are our romantic songs. When you hear it in your room, you know it has to happen. Hello? You just finish worshiping, then you put that song on. And your whole atmosphere changed, your whole feeling changed. You know you are in a dangerous zone. Purify your surrounding. I said to my friend, my dear brother, this picture needs to leave your room. Do you know I went and I lifted the picture off the wall and I turned it upside down and I dropped it behind the seat. I said, this thing needs to leave your home. My dear brother, if you don't get rid of this thing, you will not marry. And I'm telling you, I'm not cursing you. But any woman that respects herself will not want to come into a man's room and find a naked woman and think that this guy is potential husband for me. And if you want Jesus to move in your life, and so I started ministering to, how is your Christian life like? You know why we are battling? Our gates are not protected. Our gates are not protected. The walls need to go up. We need to be alert and sensitive. Last week, Pastor Tanya was here talking about the things of the spirit.
She even grasped the surface. When you are a child of God and you come into encounter with conversations and people talking and doing things, what do you see? What do you hear? What does the word of God tell you about the conversation that is going on? And these days, we are the ones that make excuses for unbelievers. Oh, they are just chatting. There's nothing wrong with this. Hello? Does the Bible say it is good? If it is not of the Spirit of God, then it is of the spirit of the devil. Jesus said, he that is not with us is against us. Don't choose a gray line in the middle. Don't. Glory to God. They purified their surroundings. Go home and look at what has to leave your room. Certain things are demonic. The things we call nice shapes. Some of us, I was surprised when I went into a pastor's room and saw Buddha in his room. I'm like, hello, this guy doesn't understand spiritual things. This guy doesn't understand spiritual things. How can you be a servant of God and have Buddha displayed in your living room? And when you start talking to such Christians, they are so depressed, they don't know what they are doing, they are so confused, they don't have life. Don't think I'm here to smash any of us here. But we need to go back into our Bible. We need to start picking up the Bible and studying it. We need to start deciding, I am for the Lord Jesus, and he that is not with Jesus is not my companion. The word of God says that a wise man chooses his friends. A wise man chooses his friends. And there is a wise saying that, show me your friend and I will tell you your character. I do not need to know you personally, but by the things you start telling me, the associations you tell me you have, I know the kind of person you are. And so when you come to verse 31 to 34, two choirs led Jerusalem in joyful praise. Two choirs did this. I'm not going to read the whole passage. He said that they appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. The two large choirs were called thanksgiving choirs for God, for good reason. All praise and worship must have a strong element of thanksgiving to God, for it is to be what? Genuine. This praise and worship we do here, is it really to thank God? When we really start to discuss worship, you will find that so many of the songs that Christians sing these days saying they are worshiping God are not worship songs. Worship song, a true worship song exalts the Lord God, magnifies the Lord God, exalts Jesus. Today, there is almost an agenda to take the name of Jesus out of everything. And we say, oh, we are trying to be in the middle so that we can win the secular and non-secular. Excuse me. Who are you trying to glorify? Who are you trying to glorify? Notice that the singers sang loudly. They had to be heard because, as glorious as the instruments were, the people would follow the lead of the singers in worship. Singers here, worship. Use your voice. I always tell our worship team, if the thing breaks, we will buy a new one. If the drum breaks, we will replace it, but do it as unto our Lord Jesus. We don't be timid in worshiping Jesus. Children of God, don't be timid. Let people know that you are proud of your Jesus. You know, people will choose who they go to go and do certain things just by knowing the kind of person you are. When you are walking and they know you are confident in your Jesus, you love your Jesus, you are proud of your Jesus, they won't come and start having certain discussions with you. They won't. And even in the church, as we are all sitting here, those of us who know the gossips here, me, I come here, I don't know the gossips here. Because none of them come to gossip with me. But you, gossips know that they can come and gossip with you. Check yourself. Check yourself. If a gossip can come and gossip with you, check yourself. Check yourself.
Check yourself. Glorify our Lord. God made them rejoice with great joy. God did this with the choirs assembled, and the people spread all about. They were then overwhelmed with joy and thanksgiving, considering all God had done. You see, when we look at everything God has done, the thanksgiving has to come from our heart. You're not thanking God for me. I'm not thanking God for you. We are thanking God for the God that he is and the things that he's done for us, the things he has delivered us from. When I got the opportunity to experience hell, I started to appreciate Jesus for who he is. I tell you, hell is not a good place for any human being. It is for Satan and his people and his demons. And so prioritize going to heaven because it is not good. And so when you think of all that Jesus has done to come and die to save us from the power of sin, children of God, you gotta thank him. Whatever it is, let it come from your heart. The women and the children also rejoiced. This tremendous experience of worship was for everyone there. Some who weren't able to worship. You see, mama, daddy, you love God. Love God so that your children too can love God. These days, we are not raising a generation of God lovers. And please, those of you who come to church so happy, rejoicing and thanking God, and your children are there doing their own thing, watch it. Some of us give games, mobile phones, and you go close, you watch what the kid is playing with, you're like, oh my days. Let's make an effort in teaching our children how to worship God. From childhood, the word of God says, train up a child the way he should grow. And when he grows, he will not depart from it. Some of the qualities of my life now are qualities that mature people, the grown-ups in my life, invested into my life. My dad is passed just some few days ago, and every time I sit down, I keep remembering the song that I used to hear him singing for his morning devotion. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. I know you come from heaven above. He wasn't a good singer, but you will hear my daddy singing it about 5 a.m. And me, I am not a good singer, and this song has remained with me from childhood till now. You get it? Parents, worship God with your children. Don't set a bad example. You tell them to worship, but you are gossiping. You are the one insulting. You are the one everything discriminating against the pastor, doing all sorts of things in your home privately because nobody can see, and you think it is okay. Your children are watching. Your children are watching. We have to set a good example. The joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Their worship was a testimony to others. And what others heard was not so much the singing itself as the joy. We often worry about others hearing us sing. But what God wants to hear and what others should hear is not so much your singing, but your joy. It is not the singing, your joy. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. We have to rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so learn to wait in his presence. Learn to be touched by the Spirit of our living God. And let everything you do, the thanking that you do, come out of a deeper joy. Because that is what ministers to God. It is not the song that you are singing. It is the appreciation of your heart and the stability and the peace that is in your heart towards our living God. And you see, that is also what people around us should see. People around us should see how joyful we are in worshiping our God. We go to church and we complain. We are Christians and we complain about being Christians. How can you go and try and tell your colleague to come and live for Jesus when you go to church and you go to work and you are always complaining about this Christian life? And we say, oh, it's not easy, you know. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to be a Christian. And so the unbeliever thinks it is really not easy to be a Christian. But the truth of the matter is, it is not us who are supposed to do the work. If we are really yielding to the Spirit of our living God and allowing Him to take full charge and control of our life, He will help us. That is the word of God. It says the helper. Many of us are living our own Christian life. We are not yielded and surrendered to the Spirit of our living God. And so it has become what? Hard for us. So we were appointed over the rooms of the storehouse for the offering. This was a day of giving. People brought their offering, first fruit, tithe to the storehouse of the Levites, and they did it with joy because they enjoyed supporting the priest and Levites ministering on their behalf. We have to give with joy. Give with gladness in your heart. Don't give grumbling. Don't give, I should go and give tithe and then the pastor will use it to go and buy a new car. The things people say, when you give your tithe, you're not giving it to the pastor. Okay, so if you see it that way, then you're not going to be blessed. And it's not going to make you give out of your heart. When you give your offering, you're not giving it to the pastor. Look at these fans here running. The air conditioning we are enjoying. This building that has been paid off. What was used to pay it off? The giving. You see the comfortable seats we are all sitting in? I just signed a check yesterday, $2,000, for work that was done here. Everything. We have to be responsible for keeping here so that we can still come here and worship God and give glory to God. The givings that you give is all about the kingdom. And it has to be your worship. And you have to do it with joy in your heart. See it as your worship unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Not unto me. Not unto anyone here. I tell you, I'm so afraid to touch even the money around this place. Some of us are quick to accuse. Are quick to condemn. Are quick to accuse. Please be careful. Give willingly unto God. Both the singers and the gatekeepers kept the charge of their God and the charge of the purification. You see, it's not just enough to say, oh, I'm going to live a righteous life. It is not enough to give yourself to Jesus. You now have to live according to the word. Give that which belongs to God. You have to do it. Action must follow. Action must follow. They also consecrated the holy things for the Levites. It was a day of consecration. Holy things were set apart for the Levite, speaking of the separation unto God. Consecration is a giving. Giving ourselves to the Lord to become a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says, I exhort you, therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. We have to set ourselves apart for God so that God will take pride in using us. many of us are not willing to live the sacrificial life for our Lord Jesus Christ. We have accepted him as our Lord and personal Savior. Now we need to be consecrated. To be consecrated means to be set apart. Unto. And so we need to now be set apart unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ. We present ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice. We are simply saying, Lord Jesus, I am for you. I am no longer for myself, the world or anything else. I am for your use and your satisfaction. Is Jesus satisfied with you? Am I really for Jesus? Have I laid myself onto the altar? This is a question I ask myself all the time. And so as children of God, we need to come to this place. Whether you are a youth, you are a child, you are whatever, how many years you've got to live on this earth, let us render ourselves as a living sacrifice for God. So that God uses us. God wants to give us gifts. He wants to give us all the abilities. He wants to endow on us the power of the Holy Ghost to use us. Jesus said that when he comes upon you, you shall receive power to be my witnesses. God wants to use us powerfully in our community. God wants to use us powerfully amongst ourselves here. And if we do not give ourselves to God like that, he cannot use us the way he wants to use us. I tell you, if we really do give ourselves to God the way we are supposed to, this place, you see the empty chairs here? I bet you some will be laying up the chairs over here. And the overflow at the back will be overflowed. Very soon we'll be talking about expanding this building and we'll be buying bigger places. Look at how the Spirit of God came down on the day of Pentecost and how he started using the early church at spreading and advancing the kingdom of God. And the whole purpose of us rebuilding this year is so that we will be in a position to be used by the Spirit of our living God. Checking our hearts, checking our mind, really looking at our living and yielding our totality to Jesus as a congregation called to Kani to work and to save souls of the streets. If we do not see it that we have to give ourselves as a sacrifice to God, he cannot use us the way he wants to. He cannot. This rebuilding is not these paintings that we have here. This rebuilding is starting with our hearts. Just as Nehemiah didn't just go and start building a wall. He first repented. He checked himself and he made sure he was right. He had the right heart and then he was able to go out. This is a decision we need to make here. We have to. And so my sermon has come to an end.